Good to see you this morning. I saw a little bit of sun, but the sun was going away. But there's hope. There's hope for dryness out there on the trail. So wonderful to be with you this morning. And again, I do want to reiterate what Shirley was saying. You know, just praise the Lord for people coming together and working and putting together a real good service yesterday, and also a time for the dinner. I think that's really a wonderful ministry that the church has, and I hope it was really a part of just a comfort for your family during this time, and you will continue to be in our prayers as the days go on as well. So for the Lord's comfort to be with all of your Borger family and friends as well, right? So yeah, one man touch many lives. We won't really know how many until we get to heaven. We hear all the stories as such, but we surely believe that Stanley's life touched many, many people. And it's kind of interesting because as I was reading Ruth and listening to others like Alistair Begg preach on this subject, you know, it just came to part that, you know, Plain Jane, just, I don't know, I'm kind of a funny guy, you know that already. So Plain Jane, and if you're a guy, it's really like average Joe. I call it Joe Schmo, you know. So you're just kind of an ordinary person, you know. And you know, we're looking at Ruth, and this is not a spectacular story. You know, there's no fighting going on, and there's no, you know, fireballs being thrown around. There's no rivers being split. There's no dead being risen, but it's a very powerful story of ordinary people. And that's one thing that excites me, because I'm just an ordinary Joe Schmo, you know, that's all I am. But I praise the Lord that even in that, God uses our lives. He's a great God, isn't he? Oops, I got my own little clicker, don't I? I keep forgetting that. It's still there. So Ruth, Plain Jane, Joe Schmo. You know, we got our humdrum and ordinary lives. You know, people just get up every day, put on their shoes or pants, all that stuff, brush their teeth, look in the mirror and go, oh, like that type thing, and keep going day after day after day. Maybe something would happen once in a while. Somebody will say a nice word to you or send a nice note to you, but usually it's kind of just ordinary, you know, get things done. Like these guys, I can't believe they're smiling, doing chores. That's not real. But I just was fine trying to find a picture. You know, that's just, I don't smile when I'm vacuum cleaning or cleaning the toilet or whatever it is. I'm sitting there going, oh, get this out of here, you know. But you know, that's ordinary life though, right? Day after day, make those, you know, breakfast and clean the dishes, and always have to think, our biggest thing is, what are we going to eat tonight? We got to think of a plan. What are we eating tonight, you know? So, but, you know, and all that, a lot, you know, the world kind of wants us to feel, you know, we got all these celebrities, all these things, you know, coming at us, you know, this guy, YouTube, you know, this guy, that, all that stuff, you know? But really, the world is made up of ordinary people. And in our ordinariness, God does not forget us. In fact, it does not mean uselessness to God. Okay, the world might say, oh, you're ordinary, you don't have much to give, just follow us. Yeah, but God's saying, no, ordinariness, I can work with that. I know you can be useful. And then if you really look at your lives, how many of you really been influenced by somebody that was a celebrity or whatever? You know, they might have had a little to say, but most of the time it's just those ordinary Stanleys inviting us, putting coal in our stocking, you know, just that type of stuff, you know, things that just include us, make us feel part of things, part of the family, you know, share the good news with us out of love, out of truth, out of prayer. You know, that's that ordinary influence. And it just, God works in that. He's the spectacular one, right? As we get to know him. So you got the humdrum, ordinary life. He doesn't really care about, you know, he cares about people. Whether you're spectacular or not, he's mainly looking for the faithful person. Somebody who does show up all the time, no matter what. You know, somebody that's always there. That's really wonderful to have. I know if I was coaching a team, I certainly would like to have all my players come in there every day and stuff like that. They don't. And it is, even for the church, to have the faithful come. It's an encouragement to everyone to come together in Christ's name. Before we go on, let's pray. Father God, again, we come before you knowing that this is your word. You inspired the person who wrote this book, Lord, inspired this book to teach us more about you and who we are in you. And I pray that you just open up our hearts and minds to this and teach us and reveal to us more things, maybe things that we haven't even thought of before, or things that we need to be reminded of to carry us through in our ordinary daily lives, that we can give honor and glory to you. Bless this time, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So ETA, Bethlehem, here she comes with her little foreign daughter-in-law in tow. And, I'm sure as she's getting closer to Bethlehem, these memories are starting to wash over her, I remember that place. Oh, and starting to get closer to the streets where she lived. And, my husband and I used to walk these streets. Oh, I remember I used to run after the boys, over here. And, and it's just kind of washing over her. And all this is just kind of pounding her, all right? Even though they're special memories, they're kind of like, needles, being jabbed into you. They're hurting her because she went away. As she said, she went away full, but now she's being brought back. It's pretty much God called her back, right? Empty, desolate, hopeless. Bad situation. I wouldn't want to be in it. Job would probably be going, whoa, this person's worse off than I am. Doesn't look too good to me. And then the question, can this be Naomi? Oh my, that must have really struck her. I don't know how she would have felt, but we can kind of get a feel of this next part. Because, first of all, before we go on, one thing that God wants us to do in all this is to open our eyes and see our salvation. All right? Things that we're going to learn pretty much today is that we can trust in God no matter what the circumstance. Yeah, it looks pretty dreary for Ruth and Naomi. Right? It really does. But God, He's able to work through that. And then you get this triggered, when that question came up to Naomi. Can this be Naomi? I'm sure Naomi went, oh, you know how triggered. I think that's kind of the teens know that word better than some of us older guys and stuff like that. But, it's something like just sets you off. You want to blow off some steam now. You got to, you made me mad. You irritated me. You just brought something back and now I'm going to give it to you. And she just said, don't call me Naomi. Naomi's meaning of Naomi is pleasant. So if they're saying pleasant, she's going, stop! Don't call me pleasant. I am not feeling very pleasant right now. I'm embittered. Call me Mara, because I'm bitter. And here it says why she's bitter. She says this. She says, don't call me Naomi. She says, because the Almighty. And she names him Shaddai. We know El Shaddai, the Almighty, has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. Almighty, the Almighty, Shaddai, has brought misfortune upon me. Wow. She's given it to God, isn't she? But you know what's interesting? She knows who to give it to. Her theology is right. God knows what she... He knows her circumstance. She knows that. She's been walking it. That's why she's got Ruth in tow. Remember? Naomi, Naomi must have been somebody who, a God-fearing person, who spoke about God, prayed, and just blessed her daughter-in-laws and all that, constantly. Something just showing that life, being that pillar to them, a pillar of truth, of hope, of love, of God's word. you know, that changed Ruth's life, that she would leave everything behind and follow her to a new people and a new culture, a new place, where she is not really liked because she's a Moabite. She's foreign. You know, so, but Naomi knows what's going on here. Just like Job, she's complaining to God. She's not putting it on herself. She's saying, no, God's the one. God's the one I got to wait upon. God's the one I got to call upon. God's the one I got to talk to. And I got to wait for him. And interesting that even, you know, she was pretty open with her feelings, which I think is a pretty healthy thing, even though sometimes you have to be careful how open and to who, right? But her great-grandson was very good at this too. Do you remember who her great-grandson is? Who is it? It's David. It's King David. If you read his Psalms, he's shouting at God sometimes. He's pouring out his heart to God. So often, I think it just kind of trickled down. He inherited it from his great-grandma, Naomi. You know, what's interesting too, her God wasn't so lofty that she couldn't talk to him like this. See, a lot of people think of God, oh, he's this and that, but then they just keep on going their own lives. They don't think that God really cares about who they are or where they're at or what's going on in their lives. Not Naomi. Not Naomi. God was very real to her, and she knew that the Shaddai cared for her, every detail of her life. And, you know, I can just see the women, you know, her friends and relatives probably talking, going, that's really Naomi. Whoa, you know, did she used to have a husband? What happened? You know, kind of, you know, what women do sometimes. They gossip a little bit and stuff like that, you know. Give me a couple of things on that. Excuse me, this is sometimes I have to have a little bit of fun. Even though Joy's kind of going like that, yes. But we all know when women get together, tears flow, and what else goes on? Dip, 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 dip. Now, guys, we're out in the fields working hard, and of course, we're doing some of our own things too. So, crushing beer cans. Oh, back then, I don't think they had the beer cans, but things like that. So, but they're asking in their hearts, they're saying, you know, what should I do? What will he do? You know, is he going to rescue her, or is he just going to throw her aside, just like she's none? You know, I think that's a good question there. I mean, who's Naomi? She's just an ordinary person. Nothing much, plain Jane. Well, lesson one, God sees us and cares about every detail of our humdrum and ordinary lives. Don't forget that when you're getting up and trying to put your pants on and it's just not going well and you fall over. You know, you get back up and just know that God is still with you. He cares about those every little details of your life. You might not think so, but he is. And you know how you know that? Because if you talk to him really with an open heart, I believe that his peace will flow into your life, even through the most difficult circumstances. If you don't talk with him, well, then you are going to feel shut out. Because you don't have you're not continuing the relationship, though he does care, though we might not feel it as much. And then, so what is this Shaddai? Well, El Shaddai is God Almighty. El is God. Shaddai is Almighty, right? But there's more things to it because there's some parts of Scripture that mention this name, and you know, God Almighty. You know, he's a provider. He's a destroyer. He's somebody you better fear, right? He's self-sufficient. He's sustaining. He's nurturing. He wants his people to be fruitful. In fact, here in Genesis 17, it says, I am God Almighty. He's talking to Abraham. Okay, before Abraham became Abraham, because Abraham meant, you know, a father of many. But he wasn't a father of many at that point when he was talking to him. Because he's still making a covenant with him, right? I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Will the blessings flow from who? El Shaddai. El Shaddai. You want to be fruitful? Go to the El Shaddai. Right? 14:27. I was reading, because I'm reading my daily Bible reading, and I'm reading through Isaiah with joy, doing the same thing. And this just came up, and I said, well, how appropriate. You know, for the Lord Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? He's the Almighty God. He's all-powerful. No government, no celebrity, no agenda, no nothing, no virus, no situation can thwart his plan in our lives. I tell you something, even that young man we saw little video clip, he was really down and out. Now he's somebody who is teaching people about Christ. Wow. That's El Shaddai. Lesson two, God is always working out his purpose, even in humdrum, disappointing, dark times of our ordinary lives. Yep. Yeah, we go through dark times. But he's always working. He's always working. Remember that. And then hope springs eternal. You know, it's interesting. You know, like I'm listening to these guys and the hunters. You see, I'm not a hunter, but I like to listen to the stories. You know, and like I think it was Randy was talking about sitting in his stand and then on that moon, where the moon just lit it up. You know, and he can see all the deer and stuff like that. I'm just saying, you know, hope springs eternal. You know, things could be dark, but then there's that light that starts to shine through. And you start to see that deer, and then you see this 24-point buck, and you're going, whoa, all right? And I'm sitting there going, don't shoot, and you're going, ah, meat. And I'm going, okay, all right, this is for you, right? But where is that guy? I can't see him. I can see this, but he's pretty well camouflaged there. Hope springs eternal. That's Naomi. That's Ruth. Tough situation they're in. But right at the end there on verse 22, the barley harvest was beginning. The house of bread, Bethlehem, the house of bread, that's what this name is. It's got bread again. See, in this darkness and this, oh, the emptiness, the disappointment, the bitterness of life was going on. God, there's the little, can you hear the little flute, the banda going, doo, 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 starting to pick up? Something's starting to change there. The tune is starting to change. The whole feeling of the story is starting to change. See, it was a lament before. You know, Jeremiah is probably envious of that lament. Going, wow, I love those tears. I love that sorrow. But there's God is not a God of defeat. God is not a God that can't do what he purposed to do. He doesn't fail his promises. I know he promised Naomi, if you follow me, I'll take care of you. I'll be your shield. I'll be your great reward. Something's breaking. Can you hear it? It's kind of one of those things when you have you ever read a book and you know, it's just kind of going, well, this is starting to get a little boring. And then all of a sudden, like, something turns and you start going, oh, what happened? Something's happening. And you got to read on. You can't stop anymore, even though it's 12 midnight. You got to, oh, you got to keep going. You know, joy is a lot of you like that. Just keep going, reading, reading, reading. You know, I don't do that. I say 12 o'clock, like that. I'm done. Unless it's football, then it might be. Yeah. If Dallas Cowboys were playing, then I'll be on it. Even till midnight, after midnight, whatever. So, if they're winning. All right. But on this, you know, there's something changing. You want to keep reading on. See, Ruth, it's hard to stop at chapter one. You want to just, oh, wait a second, what's happening? Barley harvest, something's happening here. I got to keep going. Right? So that's God. God does that in our lives. So lesson three is Shaddai is always at his best when things are at their worst. So when you are down in the dumps, or you know somebody else is in that situation like a Naomi and Ruth, pray for them that they will have an understanding that God is going to break through. He's just waiting for the right time. His time. See, it's his plan, not ours. See, if it's my plan, everything, Dallas Cowboys and Dodgers and Lakers are winning championships every year, right? But God has his plan, not my plan. Not my plan. And he breaks through even the darkest times. Yeah, when we're feeling bad, our health isn't doing well, our finances aren't doing well, our relationships aren't doing well, our studies aren't doing well, our jobs are stinking. God is in it. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. When the times are at worst, that's when he gets at his best. Just wait upon him like a Naomi. I know she's embittered, but she's not running away from God. She came back to Bethlehem where God called her. She could have went somewhere else, further away, and said, God, I'm done with you. I'm joining Orpah and her family and worship these idols. They're better than you. No, she didn't do that, did she? She went to Bethlehem, even though she had to face that emptiness and the questions of her relatives and friends and all that. She went back. Because I got a feeling something in her heart was telling her, you're going to be all right. I got a plan for you. I got something for you. Just wait upon me. I'm going to do something marvelous that will impact lives for centuries and beyond. King David, you don't think the blood through Naomi is running through his veins? And then through David, the promised one, the Messiah. Yeah. It all comes together, doesn't it? You read the Old Testament, you're reading the New Testament. You read the New Testament, you're reading the Old Testament. It's all one book, all one God, all one Holy Spirit moving it. So, Plain Jane, Joe Schmo, listen up. Are you discovering Shaddai in the ordinariness of your humdrum life, like what Lisa was saying earlier? Are you opening your eyes, your ears? Are you on it? Discover them day after day in your ordinary lives. Discover them. And then the spectacular happens. Maybe it's not all these fireworks and stuff like that, but something inside you spectacular will happen for sure. And, oh, yes, I say this. Plain Jane, Joe Schmo, never give up. Never surrender. Jill, don't laugh too loudly. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know if you've seen this movie. You should see it. Never give up. Never surrender. You have an almighty God. Almighty God. Not just pipsqueak, wimpy God. Not God that's built out of wood and stone or something that you see on TV or see on a YouTube or whatever. No, this is the almighty creator God of the universe. Never give up. Never surrender. Psalm 42, and when I was going through this, I always like to have a scripture at the end. I had no clue. God popped it in my head right then and when I was doing this message, preparing it and stuff. And it fits perfectly, doesn't it? You know, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Don't ever lose that. And you know somebody around you that's losing it, or they don't even have it, invite them. Invite them to the feet of Christ so they can listen to these words of life. Pray for them. Encourage them with these words. And don't ever give up, because God is breaking through in their lives too. Whether they're going to receive or not, that's between them and God. Let's pray. Oh, Creator God, El Shaddai, God Almighty, the one who really is awesome, almighty. Nothing impossible for you. Lord, Father, help us to take these things, to remind us that we don't ever have to give up. We don't ever have to surrender. And the only thing we really need to surrender and give up is to you. Give up our sinfulness. Give up our waywardness. Give up the things that hold us back from you. Surrender our lives to you, yes, but to nothing else. So guide us in that and help us to be these lights, to be able to encourage the people around us, to pray for them, to never give up, Lord, on the people around us who need you so much, and those around the world who need you so much. Help us to be ever prayerful, ever watchful, discovering you anew in our humdrum, ordinary lives, to have the joy of meeting you on that tree stand, or just a simple walk outdoors, or just reading your word, or being with others, or just being quiet before you. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the victory that we have in you. No one can snatch it away from us. We are more than conquerors in Christ. We pray this all in Jesus Christ's name. And all of his people say, amen. Amen.